to First Street's higher, isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
Martin.
You know, when you've been away from as long as we had, you kind of forget.
Well, from here, honey, right here from Old Pirate's Lane.
I know.
Around out of Ohio.
And, of course, I named Old Pirate Lane, you know.
Right to the edge of the airport.
Oh, yeah, and you know who it was named after?
Well, at the end of the road.
Well, you remember old Claude Graham?
Yeah.
Okay, Claude Graham lived here for quite a while in the old house. And he was such a fantasy guy, you know. He was always telling stories. I got to call him the old pirate.
Is that how that's picked up?
Yeah, and I'll be damned if somebody didn't name it Old Pirate Lane after that.
He did.
Well, I did, but we never officially named it, you know. We just kept calling it Old Pirate Lane. Correct.
Yeah, it's to the end of the road back here.
The property, what, 21 acres? Okay. Included the old house and out beyond it about 100 yards across to Graham Street.
Mm-hmm. And then north
down
to
Ohio.
The whole 21 acres he owned.
So it went to the... So what is the airport property?
Then her brother owned that whole 55 acres that included two houses clear over to the access street that went into the airport there.
Mm-hmm.
Clear through to Pyle.
Mm. Now, it was your father, Esther, that owned this?
Yeah, her father.
Well, it was years ago from the Grahams.
Well, yes, it was the Grahams. And then the Davises bought it from the Grahams.
What year are we talking about?
1946.
What happened in 46?
46 is when who?
The Martins bought it from Davis.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And Davis owned it and bought it from Graham. And what years was that?
Well, we only had it a couple of years, so 42, 43.
Early 40s?
Yeah.
Graham sold that big hunk of, what, 55 acres?
No, I don't think he had that.
I don't know whether he had that or not, but he had the whole 21 too here.
Hello.
Oh, that's he did own that all that property at one time.
He may have.
Real estate.
Remember
that little acre down there that Alvin and Roger sold way down there somewhere for a... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, okay, so then Davis has bought it from the Graham, from Claude.
From the old man.
Claude's father.
Who is Claude's father? Well, we were trying to put his name together, and I think it's Charles, but I'm not sure. Not sure.
Okay, so that would have been before the 40s.
Yes.
Okay. And then he owned it a long time.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather imagine, yeah.
Who actually planted the grove?
His dad.
Claude Graham's father planted the grove. They brought these trees over from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And
did
they
he
bring
them, or did they were brought?
They were brought over for firewood. They wanted to grow trees for firewood. And the eucalyptus trees turned out to be a destruction because the grain turned the wrong way on the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just nothing except a grove then.
I thought they brought them over for furniture.
Yeah, it was for furniture. And the grain runs wrong.
Actually, you're right. It was for furniture, but... When they found out they couldn't make furniture out of it, they said, we'll just make firewood.
Roger's dad. Oh, Roger's dad. Yeah.
Which is Charlie Graham.
Of course they're gone.
Yeah. Well, some of the Graham family has been to see Liz. Fairly recently.
Pat Graham.
That little Graham?
Well, Pat is a...
Patricia is Roger's wife.
She's an ex.
Or wife.
Yeah.
She's
an ex
now.
Pat has been ex for 13 years.
I got the impression it was a man that was part of the Graham family.
Well, if it was a man, it was it...
Did you say Roger or Alvin? One of the two.
I didn't see him.
Roger's brother. That's,
Because they're older.
Graham boys are...
Mm-hmm. Well, they're getting nothing.
Unless it was Gary Graham, which is Elvin's boy.
Could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been. He teaches school someplace around here.
Now, there was the remains of an old log cabin out there when we moved
here. Hey, our friends from Washington lived in that for a long time when they moved down here.
What years are you talking about?
Oh, well, 47, 48.
Yeah, 47, 48. Somewhere along the line.
Was it already there then?
Oh, yeah.
The cabin was already there.
And
then
the Indians were there?
No, we were there. We came just after, but you talked about it.
Who built the cabin?
I don't think anybody knows. Well, I mean, Roger might know.
Where does Roger live?
He lives in Santa Ana, in Santa Ana Heights.
Okay, yeah. Roger Brown. Is he remarried?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 15 years now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, when you moved here, were the Indian family lived there?
No, it was empty. And our friends from Washington moved down shortly after and lived there in the Grove. And I can remember, they'd invite us down for cards. And she'd whip up a big cake.
Yeah.
I can remember that. We'd sit around, play cards. And
in the little cabin.
Yeah.
No, Lindbergh.
Lindbergh. They lived there for 2 or 3 years.
No, didn't they go back? No, they did.
They lived a couple of years there because he worked for Guarantee Chevrolet in Santa Ana.
Lindbergh.
And why they came down for a vacation? They liked it so well. They did well.
They stayed.
I can understand. They
liked it
watching.
They stayed until finally.
And they had a couple of kids. They had 3 kids, and with our 2 kids.
No, Donna Jean wasn't born yet.
You're right.
Do you know anything about the Indian family that lived there?
Yeah, they were Cherokee, nice looking family.
How many?
They had the cutest kids.
You won't believe this.
They had the cutest little girl.
A daughter, that the oldest girl, the oldest one was a girl with beautiful long black hair, and then there was the boy. And then they had 2 twin girls, and all 4 of those children were so handsome, you couldn't believe it.
How did they survive the day for a living?
Well, he worked for the golf course on occasion.
On occasion.
Earned a few dollars here and there, and one time he and Gomer, I think it was Gomer, yeah, they got into a big fight, that's the owner of the golf course. Got into a big
Gomer Sims.
Hollingsworth. Anyway, got into a fight with him, and he took after him with a bat or a pickaxe or something, and was going to kill him.
Oh, no,
Hollingsworth.
Well, Hollingsworth called him something. I don't know, probably a dumb Indian or something,
probably.
You know. And he kept after him with this thing he was working with, whatever it was,
well,
a hole or whatever.
Who did?
The Indian.
Yeah. And he couldn't hold on a steady job because of it.
And every day she would cook cornbread and black-eyed peas. I mean, that was their thing.
They were actually a nice family. You know, they didn't cause any problems at all.
Well, honey, because of the kids they entertained, they were singers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Indian girls,
uh-huh.
How many were in the family?
3.
Three?
Three kids.
No. The oldest girl and the boy and the twins.
Oh, 4, yeah.
3 girls, 4 kids.
Okay.
And they were entertainers? I mean, a girl?
Yes, and believe it or not, was Andy Devine used to come out here. Big thing, and they said that they used to, because he had bookings for him to go to San Qatar, you know. And
what years are we talking about?
Oh, boy, let me see.
About 10 years after we moved in, I think. Eight, 9 years.
The late early 50s.
The late 40s, early 50s, yeah.
And you know, there's another thing, too. There was a Hollywood notable called Griffbeck.
Yes,
lived in a trailer home, I mean a mobile home, a motor home in the Grove.
For a long time, huh?
It was a bus. It was a big bus.
Okay.
Big bus.
Hollywood something?
He was a Hollywood celebrity of some kind.
He was a producer then.
Producer.
He had showed him all of these great big gloss pictures of the old stars in those days.
Yeah,
he was in the
I remember he had a motor problem with it, and I worked on that girl on that bus for a couple of days fixing that problem for him.
Well, was he a has-been at that point, or was this just his retreat?
They both had he had emphysema for that or something, and he had to get out. But they came out here at the Grove.
They could do it.
They said they felt so much better out here. They just stayed.
Yeah, he was, but then he.
So they lived in the Grove too.
Well, that was after the cabin was vacant.
In their bus. But they would come down, and then they'd leave, and she says, she was a beautiful woman. I think she was a lady or something. She was really beautiful.
She
was
really beautiful.
Don't ever, ever let anybody know that there was a woman like this. I, oh, my God. I said, I'm sure, I don't even really resist it. But never will.
Oh, and then the same man.
Who, Grossbeck?
Grossbeck, when they moved out, he took that bus up into Big Bear or Arrowhead or someplace. I put it on a lot. I drove the thing up there, remember?
He had to drive it up.
I drove it up there and put it on the lot up there at Big Bear. Might be still there.
Imagine me living like this. Look at here how I have to be.
She was a little affected, but she was nice.
Sounds like he was down on his luck.
Yeah,
well, he had to move on because of his breathing problem. Yeah.
He was a sick man, and we had lost. And I mean, they had us down all the time, and they'd come up the house, and I guess they just were lonely. We weren't somebody to talk to. It
was an awfully lonely place to be.
And then we'll have to tell you something funny. Yeah, I think you remember this. When Gary was climbing one of those trees out there, and he slipped and fell and got his neck caught in the joint of the tree.
Oh. Is that your son?
Yes.
I tell you, I wasn't near as she was alone. I guess she went into a corgi fit.
Oh, my goodness me.
So if anything that's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong. Really?
Yeah. And yeah. Windburn's not here.
Well, get us to climb those trees all day long, if it ever happened.
You know, when I start to think about the way these young kids are living today and the way we had to live, like, you know, I thought nothing of working 7 days a week forever, you know, and then coming home and building a house or doing plumbing or doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, if these kids don't get at least 2 days off a week, they are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, are they hurt.
You know, the part of the foundation of that old cabin is still visible out there.
I love
it. So it's been torn down then, right?
It's been carried off.
I remember when we first came here, especially with your home, and we drive down this road. I think I remember a structure back in there.
It wasn't very far back in, only about
100 yards.
No, not even that.
Not even that.
100 feet from the road. And it's sort of right in the center of the property.
It had a wooden floor, though. Yes. It had a wooden floor.
And then in the meantime, we had hippies living there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And the mother, she
would
silk
the
old hair. She said, 100 silks every day.
Mm-hmm.
And their hair, and that had to be a must. Because that's girl's hair. Both the girls. Three girls.
They had three girls and one boy?
Twins. The twin girls with the babies.
Uh-huh.
And then the boy.
What happened to the boy? Was he a singer too, or was it?
Yes, they all did. No, they all did.
Do you have any idea what their name was?
You know, I don't remember. I don't remember their name.
I was trying to think of that the other day.
I knew them too, but I just.
You don't remember what their first names were, either?
I really can't. But they used to, the oldest girl. She'd say it was so funny when old Andy Devine came out. She said he was so big and fat and he had this little car that he'd race the other side down with sandbags to make the car, to make the car so it wouldn't go sideways.
Do you think the Indians kind of built the cabin then?
Oh, no.
That cabin probably was there long, maybe even before the Grahams owned it. I don't know. It was an old thing.
Couldn't have been.
Okay.
Could have been the
grain
stick
that
the girls in.
Yes,
but
they could have climbed it around it.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say.
It
could have been there,
you know. Yeah, it could have been there
a long time. It was an old stockman's cabin. I wonder if it was the stockman's cabin, or what would you expect?
There were tomatoes here, wasn't there? There was tomatoes in this here.
Well,
see,
we bought the acre from her dad when they lived in the old house when it was in the original position. And before we built the house, we planted tomatoes on half of it. And I can remember, they were the biggest, nicest tomatoes I've ever seen, and Esther and I picked them and boxed them up, and I took them down to Newport. And all the stores wanted them. So I had all the customers I wanted. And we made, after all the expenses we paid, we made $400 on that half acres, and boy,
that
we thought we were rich.
When did they start drilling for oil?
They never did stop drilling for oil here.
Yeah, there's some wells.
The things are still down there.
Well, I know, but they were just...
They're dry. They really didn't...
I don't think they really... I don't think they were just experimental. I don't think that they even knew or thought that there was oil here.
Well, they got the old well empty. The case check well tended to came around, one of all those leases, and wanted to release our land for all that.
But they never did get any oil. It was just, you know...
A little too far north for oil.
Yeah.
But at one point they were advertising during the 20s that they were going to strike something.
Well, 1919 is when Signal Hill boomed, and then 1921, I think it was, the Pacific Beach at that time was the Huntington Beach.
We got a little oil money.
The other way around.
Yeah.
1919, I think, was Signal Hill.
The leases on this property were mostly by wildcatters that just thought that they knew what was going to happen. Claude Graham was one of them.
I think mostly
it might have been a dairy, because there was a huge barn right back here that, when we tore it down, I used part of the lumber for that House of Waters.
Mm-hmm. But there was a big barn still left from Barnes's, because we were going to buy that piece of property. There was a big old barn.
It was a big one then. Her mother built that.
But it was a big one. I mean, a tall one. You wouldn't put things in a big tall
about
thing.
About the size of a garage. The big barn I tore down for the house.
I didn't know anything about that.
And most of it was made of redwood. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow. Now, the water used to, the well used to be right at that edge of our property.
That's the one that you came out of the house one day and Gary was sitting on top of the platform.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, Mama.
I had a great
cold. Chester's having a heart failure.
Hit me the top of the windmill. You know, there were so many rats here when we first
bought
that barn down there. Absolutely. And that's it was rats.
Big ones.
I brought my little toy terrier down from Washington, a little tiny thing, you know, little terriers. And that little thing worked for days, weeks, months, I think. And he'd never know where he was. And you know that he killed all the rats? He got all the rats.
Really?
I don't know how he did it.
Terriers,
he was so fast he could catch those rats.
You know, on the back of our property and just into the grove, I used to dig up all sorts of horseshoes and pieces of metal that came from farm machinery and all.
Yeah.
Was there a horse shed or something back there, or did they store farm machinery back there?
No, there was nothing
there.
Or
did they just dump it?
They might have dumped it because... The reason I thought it might have been a dairy is because of the big barn. Mm-hmm. It was a huge barn.
And it had cattle.
It had a hay loft and everything.
A storage barn for lima beans, for instance.
Well, lima beans was prevalent in this whole area. But there were certain places where they didn't plant them for some reason.
Because just beyond Kettler's there, all that field, all that was beans, right? North of Kyle.
I've still got some of the horseshoes and some of the metal parts that came out. In fact, a big old wrench that's about this long that somebody had made for fire machinery.
Was there a gravel road that ran along the back?
Of the grove?
Yeah, I don't know whether it was from the street.
No, the back of our
place. Sort of along that.
Well, it was, because I dug up the rock back
there. There's a lot of them.
Not when we were here.
That road was put through to get to the oil well.
Yeah. I think there was one, honey, right alongside the grove.
Right alongside the grove.
Just beside the grove.
Uh-huh. was.
But that was just obviously to get to the oil well.
Yeah.
Now, supposedly there were two oil wells. One, they built a garage on top of it down here. And then there was another one. Do you remember where the other one was?
Supposed to be down this way.
Yeah, it was. I remember seeing it.
Was it on the back of our property or where Barnes lived?
I think it was right. Maybe behind Barnes's, I think.
Yeah, I think that's behind Barnes's.
Yeah, if I remember right, there was one right out there in the corner.
Because I remember I used to walk back and make darn sure that the things were shut from kids, you know.
Well, everybody was thinking that because of the oil in Huntington Beach that it would be out here.
Fault line hit again.
Pardon?
The Newport Inglewood fault.
Yeah.
So you do have a well back there, then?
There is just the big concrete caissons, and when Wendy Pinkler, who bought it from the cameras, she had to, or the new guy had to, what?
He had to give him a reduction in price because supposedly he was going to have to re-abandon the well, and then he finagled around and didn't have to re-abandon it.
Remember the guy that had the boat turned upside down?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Oh, I have no idea what his name was.
The one that had the boat turned upside down was and made a house out of it and was living in it. Remember that? And he woke up when it started to rain with the water pouring into his ear.
New bride, he said, my new bride wasn't too happy. He said, when she woke up, she had water dripping in her ear.
Was someone living in the grove?
This is a great big lifeboat that
the property adjacent to the grove
that they had turned upside down and built a house under it.
Remember that thing, Gwen? I thought it was terribly out of the way.
He must have had something in his head.
It was just pitiful.
Now, you called it Sims Brook.
Why wasn't it Graham's Brook?
Yeah, the golf course bought that.
The golf course bought that.
Sims bought it.
They bought that from
Graham.
Wait a minute. Great. The golf course bought it from your dad.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, okay.
Then the Sims attraction has been relatively recent.
Oh, no, it's been years ago.
They sold it to the city about, 20 odd years ago, because
it was
about the time
we
moved in.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm curious about is why did you pick up Sims' name rather than Martin or Graham?
Because the Sims were the owners.
Sims were the owners of the golf course.
Yeah,
Sims and Holly.
When they sold it
to the city.
Yeah.
But before they owned it, wasn't it Graham or Martin Land?
It was Graham originally, then Martin.
And then my dad sold it to Sims.
Well, Davis came in there too. Davis came in there.
But what I'm getting at is, why did it pick up Sims' name rather than one of the earlier names?
Because when the city bought it,
it
didn't have a name before.
That's what I want to know.
It was just that we called it Sims' Grove.
Okay. Because
they owned it. What year roughly would have Sims have bought the grove?
When did he buy it?
About 19...
Remember, they had it when the Indians lived there.
It was about 1955.
Oh, that late.
Maybe not that late.
Well,
maybe not
that
late.
Earlier than that.
Well, see, we came down here in
the early 50s, I guess. We came
down. Was there a golf course when you moved here in 46?
Oh, yes.
But who owned it?
Sims.
Okay, that's before 46, but he bought it then.
Sims and Hollywood and...
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. My dad bought the whole 21 acres from Davis.
He expanded by buying it later.
The golf course was here when we moved in. And it belonged to Sims, Hollingsworth, and who was the guy that they kicked out? At the end of the day, he'd throw the money up into the air, and everything that came to earth was his.
Unreal. Okay, so then Sims and Hollingsworth owned it before 46, golf course.
As I understand it...
But didn't the golf course and the grove all go to Sims at the same time?
No. They bought the golf course when it was already here. It was in bad shape.
Right.
And they improved it quite a bit and started getting play out here.
Who owned it before that? Do you have any idea?
But it was, we understand that it was purchased just shortly before we moved down here in 1946. That they had just purchased it maybe a year
ago. Yeah, because Boomer Sims was a gameskeeper up at Palo Verde. And saved all these shekels. I guess he bought the place for a song. And Helen was waiting tables up there. And they got in here, and you know, she lived in that little shack there on the golf course for years, you know, because they built a big house.
Charlie Brothers, remember?
I remember.
He was the one that put on the barbecues
here
in the pit.
Built that house.
Remember we used to have those big barbecues? Iowa barbecues. Don't you remember?
Iowa barbecue.
The pit barbecue.
Well, Iowa State barbecues.
You had a state picnic here.
Well, we took care of those Iowa State people at Long Beach
for
a number of years.
It's 60
with the cooked meat in the pits.
And at 7th Street.
And all kinds of other parties like Salt Creek parties at Laguna
Beach. And Porta's Newport Beach.
We cook here and then take it to them.
We cook it here and then take it to them and serve it to them.
Then
and we've served as high as 2,500 people.
Then he put a pit up in his house.
Almost all picnics, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he's better than.
Yeah. A lot of hard work.
A lot of hard work. We got to keep that fire raging for about 12 hours.
Was in the late 40s then?
Mm-hmm. And the barn belonged to Murphy, remember?
Murphy's barn.
And they used to have the gay parties in the barn?
No, that's before our time.
Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, one time, at Christmas time, the gay,
New Year's Eve party.
New Year's Eve party. The gays were having a big party over there, but we didn't know it. But we knew that they had used this place for parties.
Oh, and old Mrs. What's the name? Place?
In Murphy's barn.
Yeah, I remember.
And this New Year's Eve, we were having a party at our house. And it was so foggy, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And every once in a while, a car would stop, and they'd come in and say, "Where's Murphy's barn?" Well, finally, we got the drift that these guys were queers, you know. And so this one guy came to the door, and he asked us where Murphy's barn is. And our friend Magnus Norman, he was a joker anyway, he said, "What's going on over there?" And the guy says, "Just a regular party. Why don't you come over?"
No, he says, "Having a party just like you're having."
Oh, yeah, having a party just like you.
Oh, Norm.
And Norm says,
"Four guys."
Oh, I don't think so. Anyway, he invited us over.
Mm-hmm.
So Norm and I, and I forgot who it is, Roger Graham probably.
Well, he just had enough to drink to do it. This
is we walked over there.
Uh-huh.
And we walked in big as life, and here was these... The guys dressed like girls and the guys dressed like men, you know, sitting at the same table. And some of them look gorgeous, you know. And this one guy came up to Norm and kissed him on the cheek. And I say, "Oh, Norm, just take it
away." And
Norm,
pretty soon, the guys come marching back home and we said, "Well, how did it go?" And they was laughing. Of course, Norm, this man was something else. He says, "I could take just about anything out there." He says, "When those damn cold lips hit me," he says, "that got it."
That did.
But Murphy's had such a bad name anyway. Yeah. I mean, you know, that was a...
I can remember, the only thing we had into our house was a, what do they call that?
A decomposed granite driveway.
Uh-huh.
And of course it was so wet and everything, and we had just had new carpeting put in the house. And that whole house was just, it looked like a
picture. Oh, next morning,
oh.
It was so bad.
It looked so bad.
Well, now tell me about this Murphy's barn.
That's the
one that's in the grove.
Murphy's
barn was about a 3-acre parcel.
That's
Murphy's
barn.
That was just the side of the big gravel pit that was in there.
Oh, but where's that? Dennis
is... On Springdale.
Okay.
You know where that housing development is in there across from the golf course now?
Yeah.
Well, just next to it was a huge gravel pit.
Walking up the trees.
I mean a big one, but they dug out gravel for the road.
Murphy's started just on the other side of where the big house was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big man on the water. That's where our boys spent all their childhood.
Maybe over 3 acres.
We
went up to where the airport property is. From Graham to where the airport property is. And then down,
but there was water
as Vern says, to where the the gravel pit run.
And the boys used to go down there all the time and bring the dad home.
You know, when we came down from Washington, nobody down here knew anything about archery. And so Dave Anderson from Yorba Linda that followed us down here, and I and Esther started this Aranco Bowman. And now it's a big, big, big club, and nobody knows who started it. But we have the clippings out of the paper.
Exactly.
In 1950.
What's it called?
Aranco Bowman.
Yeah. Aranco?
Orange County Bowman. Aranco. And we had a little Indian design that my partner had drawn up, and we made little sleeve things out of it.
Patches?
Yeah, with the Indian on it.